Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and I'll be reading the Midland Reporter Telegram from Saturday, May 20th, 2023, front page and local stories. Midland's jobless rate drops to 2.3%, by Mella McEwen. Permian Basin labor markets remained solid in April, according to figures released Friday by the Texas Workforce Commission. The commission said its Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area, MSA, which includes Midland and Martin counties, had an unemployment rate of 2.3% in April, down from 2.6% in March and 2.8% last April. Midland continues to record the state's lowest unemployment, followed by Amarillo with 2.8% and College Station Bryan at 2.9%. According to the commission, Midland ranked first in the U.S. for percentage of jobs added, 8% year over year. Odessa reported an unemployment rate of 3.1%, as did Abilene and Austin Round Rock. The civilian labor force dropped by 500 from March to April, but Willie Taylor, chief executive officer of the commission's Workforce Solutions Permian Basin, said the report largely mirrored the March report. The region continued to have a solid workforce participation rate, he added. We're seeing a few more people applying for unemployment, but things are still stable, he told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview. He said companies are hiring in fields ranging from education to healthcare to transportation. In fact, his office is talking with the local junior colleges about expanding their commercial driver's license training programs, which are full at Midland College, Odessa College, and Howard College. Taylor said his office, which oversees 17 West Texas counties, is utilizing funds from the governor's Skill Development Grant Program. A lot of companies are using those funds to retrain their incumbent workforce, he said. Companies like Oryx and Diamondback are using those funds to retrain and retain existing workforce. So not only are they hiring new workers, they're retraining existing workers. His office is also focusing on developing a summer youth program, creating summer-long jobs for young residents. Taylor noted that the need for labor continues to support wages. The natural resources and mining sector, which includes the area's dominant oil and gas, alone had wages totaling $1.038 billion in the fourth quarter of 2022. Midland's civilian labor force fell by 500 to 114,015 from 114,578 in March, but is 6,800 more than the 107,209 reported last April. Taylor noted that the peak before the pandemic was about 110,000. We have definitely passed the COVID impact, he said. The number of employed Midlanders fell by about 200 to 111,376 from 111,558 in March, but is 7,150 more than the 104,226 employed last April. The number of unemployed Midlanders fell to 2,639 from 3,020 in March and is down from the 2,983 unemployed last year. Midland added 200 jobs from March to April for a total non-farm job count of 119,000. The trade, transportation, and utility sector added 200 jobs, and the private education and health services sector added 100 jobs. That was negated slightly by the loss of 100 jobs in the mining, logging, and construction sector. For the 12 months from April 2022 to April 2023, Midland added 8,800 jobs for a job creation rate of 8%. The mining, logging, and construction sector led with the creation of 5,100 jobs for the year. Trade, transportation, and utilities followed with 1,000 new jobs. Professional and business services added 600 jobs, while manufacturing added 500 jobs. Private education and health services, the leisure and hospitality sector, other services sector, and government sector each added 300 jobs. The information sector and financial activities sector each added 200 jobs. Statewide, the unemployment rate held steady at 4% in April. The state recorded 26 consecutive months of total non-farm employment growth and again set records for largest civilian labor force and greatest number of people employed in state history. The civilian labor force grew by 62,184 to a high of 14,960,308. Texas added 30,000 jobs to reach a record job count of 13,871,100 total non-farm jobs. The state has added 534,600 jobs since April 2022. While Midland reported the lowest unemployment, the highest was in Beaumont, Port Arthur, and McAllen, Edinburgh, Mission at 5.6% each. How Training Helps This Motivational Speaker by Ben Schaefer. Taylor Nunez believes training goes well beyond lifting weights and running sprints. That's the core notion that fuels his life training program, which includes physical training, but incorporates the mental and spiritual sides of life. The 2012 Lee High School graduate and former Texas Tech defensive end is a motivational speaker and physical trainer. He travels to high schools and colleges and speaks to athletic teams or individuals about how to strengthen their relationship with Christ, live healthy, and combat adversity in life, and athletics. It's not just going to churches, but going into realms where people don't really hear about Jesus and the gospel, Nunez said. What I bring to the table is, hey, these are the leadership qualities taught by the most perfect and best leadership book ever read, which is the Bible itself. In a world of people searching for purpose, Nunez wants to provide a motivation that will never die, a purpose that will never change, the Word of God. Nunez recalls a quote that originated from the U.S. Navy SEALs when he speaks to young student-athletes about dealing with life's obstacles. In adversity, you don't rise to the occasion, but you fall to the level of your training. Understanding and pushing past adversity, Nunez said, can be practiced. The former Red Raider has had to find ways to deal with adversity himself, as he came face-to-face with hardship during his senior year at Texas Tech. He went to Lubbock in 2013 as a walk-on after playing quarterback at Lee High School. 247 Sports reported that he was projected to play safety at Texas Tech. After his first semester, he was moved to the defensive line, where he played defensive end and tackle. Nunez earned a full scholarship during his sophomore season. 2017 was Nunez's senior year. He was doing everything right. He earned his degree in mechanical engineering prior to his senior football season. He led Bible studies on campus, married his current wife, Kaylee, and earned a starting role on defense for Tech. Nunez described the moment when then-Texas Tech head coach Cliff Kingsbury pulled him off the field during fall training camp and told him his father, Domingo, was in the hospital. Taylor learned that his father had pancreatic cancer shortly after. Domingo Nunez underwent multiple surgeries to remove the cancer but passed away on September 19, 2017. While his father was battling cancer, Taylor found out his wife was pregnant with their first child. It was during the time frame that my dad was sick that we told him he was about to be a grandfather for the first time, Nunez said. I'm the oldest of four kids, three younger brothers, and to my father that meant everything. To be a grandfather. So when he passed away, we, Taylor and his wife, were like, gung-ho. Let's take care of the child. Let's take care of the baby. Nunez said when he and his wife went in for a 10-week checkup, doctors discovered that the baby had no heartbeat. That was just so, so tough. After all of that, I remembered, and I fell back to the level of my training, Nunez said. This is what I've been told that I need to do. This is what I remember. This is what I know when it comes to physical training. This is what I know, that I'll go to school. I'll learn. I'll get my degree and keep moving forward. So that's what I did. Nunez completed his senior season, trained for pro day, and chased the NFL dream like he promised his late father he would. Although he didn't end up playing professional football, he finished graduate studies, earned his master's degree in Lubbock. He and his wife found out she was going to have another baby, and Taylor returned to his hometown to be an engineer at Diamondback Energy. For me, it's like, people need to hear this. They need to know that the world is a messed up place, and if I can help people be prepared for that and train for that and do it today, they'll be able to be on the other side, victorious and winning, Nunez said. Nunez said he and his wife had contemplated moving to the Dallas area after graduation, but Nunez took a position at Diamondback and returned to Midland. Nunez said the people and community are Midland's treasure. If you come to Midland, you come to Odessa. People are inviting, he said. You could meet a total stranger, and in the next 2 years, you're great family friends, and you meet up all the time. People are so loving and giving here. Midlanders Returning to Airport in Big Numbers by Stuart Doreen. Through 7 months of the fiscal year, the number of people boarding an airline at Midland International is up 12.8%. Midlanders and those around the Permian Basin are returning to the airport in post-9/11 record numbers. The latest case was in April when the city of Midland reported 51,669 people boarded either Southwest, American Eagle, or United, an increase of 2.1% over April 2022. Still, the total number of passengers through the first 7 months of the fiscal year is 364,083. The city of Midland also showed Southwest's share of passengers is increasing this fiscal year. Southwest had 53.55% of those boarding an airline in April, up from 46.50% 1 year earlier. American Eagle was second with 25.40% of passengers. City: Texas Rangers investigating officer-involved shooting. The city of Midland reported that the Texas Rangers are investigating an officer-involved shooting that took place Friday morning. At 1:50 a.m. on Friday, officers with the Midland Police Department responded to a call to locate a person involved in a stabbing incident in the 800 block of West I-20. While attempting to detain the suspect with a knife charged the officer, the city reported. The officer fired at the suspect, Andrew A. Rodriguez, 23 years old. Rodriguez was pronounced deceased at the scene from gunfire. Per Midland Police Department protocol, the Texas Rangers will be the lead investigative agency in this matter, the city reported. The next of kin has been notified. What's Up with Midland by Morgan Taylor Thomas. The Blue Door, live music with Day Martinez, May 27th. The Destination, Bring Your Own Blues Jam, May 25th. Friday Night Live, Midland Airs Band, May 26th. Matt Costello, May 27th. Horseshoe, Project Graduation, May 27th. Museum of the Southwest, Downtown Midland Farmers Market, every Saturday. Tall City Brewing Company, Brew Jitsu, May 28th. Snapology Brings Educational Programs to Midland by Ben Schaefer. Children's Enrichment franchise, Snapology, will debut its newest locations this summer at the Vineyard Community Center and Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center, according to a press release. Snapology encourages social skills and teamwork by teaching science, technology, engineering, art, math, and literacy concepts to children ages 4 through 14, the press release states. Snapology's newest Midland location is owned by local entrepreneurs Matilda and Lucas Okimi. Matilda has 12 years of teaching experience in Midland and Leander school districts. I was initially inspired to bring Snapology to Midland by my youngest child, who loves building with anything and everything, Matilda wrote in a press release. As an educator, Matilda understands how children learn and retain knowledge through play. While I was in the classroom as a general education teacher, I saw the massive impact on the outcome when students are exposed to hands-on and play-based learning. They tend to internalize and master learning better, Matilda said in a press release. I advocate for STEAM education and enrichment programs that connect to real life. According to the release, the Okimis felt inspired to expand their impact in the community by offering additional play-based STEAM learning opportunities to the Midland, Greenwood, and Stanton communities. They plan to expand to Odessa in the fall. Snapology is bringing more than 80 top-rated, affordable STEAM programs to the community through a mobile business model. This means that Snapology is traveling to local schools, child care facilities, recreation centers, libraries, churches, homeschool groups, and private events where they will set up your choice of after-school and in-school classes, site-based field trips, summer camps, workshops, and hands-on kids' party entertainment, the press release states. Indicators Pushing Toward Strong Crude Prices by Mella McEwen. Crude prices faltered toward the end of the week, but still put an end to a four-week losing streak. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange fell 3 of 5 trading days, but kicked off the trading week with a $1.07 gain amid optimism about a possible deal on the government's debt ceiling and signs of tightening oil supplies. Prices rose near $73 Wednesday with a $1.97 gain before declining the rest of the week. WTI lost 31 cents Friday to end the week at $71.55 a barrel, up from $70.04 at last Friday's close. The posted price ended the week at $68.03, according to Plains All American. Natural gas prices rose 3 of 5 trading days on the NYMEX, beginning the trading week with an 11-cent gain. Henry Hub futures added another 23 cents Thursday and ended the week at 2.585 per MCF, up from 2.266 at last Friday's close. I usually am happier with those who predict higher prices than those who are pessimistic, as human nature, but I feel that all indicators are pushing toward strong prices headed into the second half of 2023, said David Arrington, president of David H. Arrington Oil and Gas, as he celebrated the initial drilling on his 15-well Air Park project just north of Veterans Air Park Lane, just west of Big Spring Road. Where we sit today at $70 oil, sub $2.50 gas, what I'm seeing is a lot of projects are still economic, but barely. Griffin Perry, co-founder and managing director of Gray Rock Investment Partners, told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview. He said that's not a factor of just commodity prices, but also high service costs. Cost inflation is very real and has circled through many of our operators. I hear of some softening in service costs, and if so, we may see a slight uptick in activity. I don't see prices sticking where they are on the oil side. World demand is strong and there's not a lot of new supply, he said. The natural gas side is different because there's so much gas coming online from the Marcellus and Haynesville that even if there was abundant takeaway capacity, it couldn't support prices, he said. Tim Waterer, Chief Market Analyst at KCM Trade, said in a market commentary that oil prices are holding up reasonably well despite strength in the U.S. dollar. Optimism regarding the U.S. debt ceiling discussions has underpinned the oil price, though any upside could be limited if the current dollar rally sustains, Waterer wrote. For the meantime, the oil price will be subject to swings in general market sentiment and will likely follow the direction of U.S. equities. He added that market sentiment could do a U-turn if the rhetoric from Washington becomes less rosy in nature over the coming weeks. Midland posts big oil numbers by Stuart Doreen. Midland County and the Permian Basin made up a greater percentage of oil produced in February, according to the Railroad Commission of Texas. The Railroad Commission reported Midland accounted for 17.154 million barrels in February, 16.67%, and Midland and Martin counties combined for 31.833 million barrels, 30.94%. The RRC also reported nine Permian Basin counties combined to produce 64.69% of the 102.867 million barrels statewide in February, according to the RRC's preliminary total. Those percentages are higher than the report in November. Reeves County again was first with 68.318 billion cubic feet of natural gas produced in February. Midland County was third at 55.920 billion. The RRC reported six Permian Basin counties in the top 10 statewide. Statewide, the RRC showed preliminary production of 760.548 billion cubic feet of natural gas produced in February. In February 2022, the preliminary production of crude oil was 99.073 million barrels. The updated total was 113.567 million. During the same month, the preliminary production of gas was 718.315 billion cubic feet. The updated total was 855.235 billion cubic feet. Permian, Eagle Ford, lead double-digit rig decline by Mella McEwen. Drilling activity continued its decline for a third consecutive week as commodity prices continue to waver amid uncertainty about the economy and demand. The decline was led by Texas, the Permian Basin, and Eagle Ford. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said its U.S. rig count, which it has issued weekly since 1944, fell 11 rigs, the second consecutive week double-digit decline, to 720 rigs. That's the steepest weekly decline since September 2021 and the lowest level since May 2022. The decline also marked the first time the rig count has fallen below year-ago levels. It's eight fewer than the 728 counted last May, since April 2021. The number of rigs seeking crude oil fell by 11 to 575 rigs, the lowest since June 2022, and one fewer than the 576 drilling for oil last year. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas was unchanged at 141, nine fewer than 150 last year. Texas saw its rig count sink 9 rigs to 357, the same level as last year. New Mexico added a rig for 109 rigs at work across the state. California 1, Colorado 2, and Louisiana 1 joined Texas as producing states to see declines, while Wyoming 1 joined New Mexico in seeing a decrease. The Permian Basin rig count fell by 4 rigs to 349, still 6 more than the 343 rigs active in the region last year. It was the steepest drop amid the nation's major producing basins, followed closely by the Eagle Ford, down 3 rigs. Eddy County, New Mexico, became the most active county in the Permian, with the addition of 2 rigs, bringing its count to 55. Lee County, New Mexico, fell one rig to 53 for second most active. Martin County reported 43 rigs, up one. Reeves County recorded the steepest decline among Permian counties, falling four rigs to 39. Midland County lost one rig for 32 rigs at work within county lines. Loving County had 27 rigs, up one. Upton County had 15 rigs for a second consecutive week. Ward County had 13 rigs, up one. Howard County had 12 rigs for a second week. Andrews County and Reagan County each reported 11 rigs, unchanged for Andrews and up one for Reagan. Garza County saw no activity this week, losing its one rig. Enverus Foundations, part of the energy-focused software as a service firm Enverus, said its U.S. rig count reached a peak of 780 during the week, ended May 17th, down by six from the previous week's high point. The count is down 4% or 35 rigs in the last month and down 5% year over year. Only half of the major plays saw declines in rigs. The Appalachian Basin added two rigs to reach 53, and the DJ Basin had a one-rig bump to 18. The Anadarko Basin was flat week over week at 63 rigs. The Permian, Gulf Coast, and Williston each dropped one rig to hit 341, 88, and 38. Obituaries. Amy Evans. Amy Scalf Evans was born in Kalispell, Montana, August 15, 1971, to Jim and Lynn Scalf on their first wedding anniversary. Amy passed away on April 26, 2023. Amy is survived by her husband Robert, her children Avery and Nate, her parents Lynn and Jim Scalf, brother Ryan and Christy Scalf, and nephew Cannon. In-laws Bart and Nina Evans, Jean and Macaulay Evans, and too many animals and friends to count. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations can be made to any animal rescue, animal shelter, beach and ocean cleanup charities, or a charity of your choice. Jerry Johnson. Jerry Wade Johnson, 83, passed peacefully in his sleep on April 23, 2023, in Seattle, Washington. Jerry was born on December 7, 1939, in Anson, Texas, to Gerald G.D. and Johnny G. Johnson. Jerry is survived by his wife of 32 years, Artie Johnson, his beloved sister, Patsy Sis Jones, and his brother, Jim Johnson. Also, one son, Sean Johnson, and one daughter, Geraldine J. Buchanan, and their mother, Anita A. Johnson. 8 grandchildren and 3 nieces. Jerry was preceded in death by his brother-in-law, Johnny G. Jones, nephew Terry Jones, and stepchildren Joseph Monpas and Kimberly Curie. Tim Thompson. Timothy Tim Cahill Thompson of Midland, Texas, passed away peacefully on May 9, 2023. Tim was born on January 30, 1934, to Timothy Solomon and Helen Biles Thompson. Tim is survived by his sons, Timothy Cahill Jr. and Ford Benjamin, daughter-in-law Julia, and 3 grandchildren. He is preceded in death by his parents and longtime companion, Nancy Rodman Anguish. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Houston Methodist Nance National Alzheimer's Center, Houston, Scurlock Tower, 6560 Fannin Street, 7th floor, Houston, Texas, 77030. The family will receive guests from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Tuesday, May 23, 2023, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. The funeral service will be held at First Presbyterian Church, Midland, on Wednesday, May 24, 2023, at 11 a.m. A private service will be held in Coleman, Texas, on May 25, 2023. William David Bill Draper. William David Bill Draper, 92, died Thursday, May 18, 2023. Graveside services were held Saturday, May 20th. at Trinity Memorial Park Peace Chapel. He was born September 27, 1930, in Brownfield, Texas, to Roy and Tacoma Draper. Survivors include two sons, David Draper and Kelly Draper, two grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents and his wife, Helen. Death notices. Esmeralda Amasquita. Esmeralda Amasquita, 59, of Midland, passed away on Friday, May 19, 2023. Viewing will be Monday, May 22, 2023, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a prayer service at 7 p.m. Monday evening at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral service is set for Tuesday, May 23, 2023, at 10 a.m. at Templo Bautista La Hermosa. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral service is under the direction of Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel. Jimmy Humphreys Jr. Jim Humphreys Jr., M.D., 80, of Midland, passed away May 19, 2023. Service is pending with Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
The following is from the community section of the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, May 20th. Abbott signs Craddock's bill into law. Bill updates outdated terminology for those with intellectual disabilities. State Representative Tom Craddock, a Republican from Midland, House Bill 446 was signed into law by Governor Greg Abbott this week. This legislation updates the Texas statute references for those with intellectual disabilities and will change all Texas statutes by replacing mental retardation with individuals with intellectual disabilities, according to a news release from Craddock's office. By updating the terminology used in statute referencing citizens with intellectual disabilities, we will be taking a huge stride in decreasing the stigma surrounding disabilities. Quote, "The time for change is finally here," Craddock wrote in the statement. "Today, we signed into law the updated language describing Texans with intellectual disabilities. I am thankful this legislation will help Texans for years to come. I would like to thank Kathleen Kerwin Haney for bringing this to my attention and working with me on this important legislation," end quote. Pioneer presents Carry the Load Memorial Day Rally. Working to restore the holiday's true meaning of honoring our veterans and first responders. Pioneer Natural Resources partnered with Carry the Load to honor Americans' fallen servicemen and women and help restore the true meaning of Memorial Day. The West Texas Energy Explorer and Producer celebrated the organization's relay team on Friday with a veteran and first responder lunch at the tailgate. Throughout the month, Carry the Load's Memorial Day campaign has been creating awareness and providing ways to connect Americans to the sacrifices made by our military, veterans, first responders, and their families. Memorial Day honors the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military. The national rally, organized by Carry the Load, travels 20,000 miles through all 48 continental states, ending with the Dallas Memorial March over Memorial Day weekend. The rally consists of five routes: West Coast, Mountain States, Midwest, New England, and East Coast. And teams walk and cycle throughout the 32-day Memorial Day campaign, which began April 27th. It's an amazing opportunity for people of all ages across the nation to honor and remember our fallen heroes. The Pioneer-sponsored celebration offered a lunch respite for Carry the Load volunteers along the West Coast route to grab a bite before marching on toward the Midland County Public Library downtown. Community Roundup. This was compiled by Stuart Doreen. The City of Midland is in the process of searching for a new city manager and is seeking input from residents about the traits, qualities, and experience residents would like to see in the next city manager. The survey should take no more than 10 minutes to complete, and all responses are completely anonymous. The survey will remain open through June 4th. To complete the survey, access the following link, forms.office.com/r/HU17NASGDU. Community Calendar. 7th Annual Mariachi Workshops, June 7th through 9th at Abel Junior High. Hot Dog Run, benefiting Midland Humane Coalition, June 10th, Midland College. On the web, midlandhumane.org/hotdogrun.html. Cesar Ornelas Mextex Family Fiesta, June 10th, Centennial Park. Carver Junior Senior High School Reunion, June 15th through 18th. The Beach Boys at the Education Foundation ECISD Annual Concert, July 27th, Ector County Coliseum. Meetings this week. Midland County Commissioner's Court, 9 a.m. Monday, Commissioner's Courtroom, Midland County Courthouse, 500 North Lorraine Street. Midland City Council, 10 a.m. Tuesday, Council Chamber, City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Midland ISD Bond Committee. The following is a list of Bond Planning Committee meetings, which are open to the public to attend. All meetings are scheduled to begin at 6 p.m., and future meeting dates are as follows. Bunch Elementary, June 1st at 700 South Jackson Street. June 20th at a location still to be determined. MISD's Bond Planning Committee website will be updated with more information as the process continues. You can find it at midlandisd.net/bond.
This is Thoris with the Odessa American News for May the 20th. The headlines, Family Motivates OCTECHS Top 2. Motivated in different ways by their parents, Ashley Enriquez and Javelin Zavala have earned their way to the top two spots at OC Techs. Enriquez, 17, is the valedictorian, and Zavala, 18, is the salutatorian. They walked the stage Friday night at the Odessa College Sports Center, 201 West University Boulevard. They have attended OC Techs for 4 years and earned associate degrees. Enriquez is in business leadership, and Zavala's in criminal justice. Enriquez is heading to the University of North Texas to earn a bachelor's degree in real estate, and Zavala is staying at OC to pursue a Bachelor of Applied Arts and Sciences in Criminal Justice. Enriquez wants to become a licensed realtor. Zavala wants to go to law school and possibly become a defense attorney. "I'm leaning more towards defense attorney," Zavala said, "just because I know our system isn't perfect, and I want to give everyone that chance. Everyone needs to be defended." Enriquez said she is dedicating her degree to her mom because of the help and support mom has given her. "Graduating is more like an accomplishment for her," Enriquez said. Zavala said when she got her associate degree, it motivated her dad, who is a police officer, to get his associate degree. "We're in the same degree right now," she added. "It's really exciting. It's like we're motivating each other. I see him doing it, and I've got to do it too," which is kind of supporting each other. "Hopefully in December, he might be walking the stage too," Zavala said. They have been giving each other tips and tricks on different classes. Enriquez and Zavala knew each other, but they didn't have any classes together. "I never expected to be valedictorian," Enriquez said. Zavala said she didn't think they felt like there was any competition between them, We were just doing our job, just doing our assignments, turning them in each day. It wasn't really, I need to do this because I wanted to beat her or beat him. It was just, do the assignments, Zavala said. If she were advising someone younger on how to make it to the top 10, Enrique said they should find a motivation like her mom. For everything, literally everything, I would just think of her, and that would activate me, Enrique said. Zavala said you should have a system, because once you create a pattern, it's very easy to stay consistent, because even if you don't want to do it, you're going to do it because you know you have to, and you've set those steps in place, so you're just going to automatically start doing things, she added. Enriquez and Zavala said all the hard work was worth it. I enjoyed all 4 years here, Zavala said. It was fun. At first, Enrique said she was kind of sad that OTECs only focused on academics. She had played tennis in middle school at Ector. Zavala went to Bowie and then Crockett for middle school. She liked that OTECs geared their programming toward specific pathways. I appreciated having a step stool for my future, Zavala said. Instead of having to wait like everyone else in regular high schools, I already have my associates and the degree that I want. Enrique said business leadership helps across different fields. At first, she was going to go into criminal justice because her dad wanted her to be an immigration lawyer. But the first week she was at OC Tech's, she changed to business. Principal Carl Miller said his top two students are both outstanding young women. He added that they are both highly motivated and dedicated. One of them is looking to go into the law enforcement and or attorney or a judge someday. The other one is looking at business and that pathway. They will both be successful. There's no doubt in my mind. We have a number of students who are doing that from our campus, Miller said. Texas View. Texas daycare centers and parents need help. The point? The legislature can provide it. If a budget is a ranking of state spending priorities, then assuring quality daycare for Texas children and relief for their cash-strapped working parents is sadly at the bottom of the Texas legislature's list. Despite a record state budget surplus of $32 billion, and the pleas of nearly three dozen child welfare advocacy groups, state lawmakers are nearing adjournment without a commitment to help stem an exodus of low-paid early child care workers from the profession. Their exit is causing child care facilities to close, driving up daycare costs that already stretch family budgets to the breaking point, and further constricting a tight Texas labor supply as parents choose caring for their children over keeping a job. Advocates are asking lawmakers for $2.3 billion to shore up early child care in Texas. Representative Armando Wally, a Houston Democrat who sits on the House Appropriations Committee, has submitted a request for that amount in the 2024 to 2025 state budget cycle, hoping it will be included in the final budget approved by the legislature later this month. It's a lot of money, and some will question why private child care businesses should receive tax money to pay their workers and keep their doors open. Such government bailouts are certainly not unprecedented, but the money has typically flowed to big businesses such as banks, the auto industry, or the airlines. Child care facilities that allow parents to work and support their families are also vital to the economy and deserve similar assistance in their time of need. Child care is an urgent need for Texas families. Our editorial board understands that Texas has a vast array of important needs that exceed the record budget surplus that lawmakers are trying to divvy up responsibly in the waning days of the legislative session. But what, if anything, is more important than the care and early education of our youngest children and the gainful employment of their parents? Legislatures should consider providing state money to help daycare operators raise wages, retain workers, and recruit new ones. Widespread shuttering of daycare doors would exacerbate an already dire shortage of affordable child care available to parents. The average annual cost for infant daycare in Texas is $9,300. Fewer providers would almost certainly drive that eye-watering dollar amount even higher. In such a scenario, some parents, especially those in rural child care deserts where options are scarce, would be forced to consider quitting their jobs to care for their preschool-aged children. That's bad news for family budgets and a Texas economy that is struggling to hire workers. An investment in child care is an investment in the future of Texas. That's why lawmakers should find a way to help, even if it means moving money out of other programs to free up cash for child care workers. Governor Gray Abbott's ineffective and wildly expensive $4.6 billion and counting Operation Lone Star Border Enforcement Initiative might be an excellent place to start clawing back money for child care needs. Pandemic did lasting damage to state's child care industry. Child care facilities were struggling before the COVID-19 pandemic, but in 2021 and 2022, federal coronavirus relief grants allowed the Texas Workforce Commission to distribute $3.6 billion to child care programs in Texas to help keep workers on the payrolls and daycares open, and by extension, parents working. Many closed anyway as some parents began homeschooling. Workers left because of poor wages and work conditions, and inflation sent daycare overhead soaring. The federal payments are being phased out this year. Nearly one-third of Texas child care facilities have closed since 2020, according to state data. A February survey of state child care facilities found that without assistance, 44% of responding child care programs could close, and 75% would raise tuition if they managed to stay open. Wally's $2.3 billion budget request would enable employers to raise average wages from $12 to $15 per hour. Anyone who's tried to buy groceries or pay the rent knows that's not nearly enough, and it isn't a fair wage either, considering the importance and difficulty of the work. Still, daycare operators say a $3 hourly pay bump would make a big difference for their employees. The Republican-controlled House has relegated Wally's request to Article 11 of the Appropriation Bill, a budget wish list where spending requests often go to die. The struggle to keep daycares open for business post-COVID-19 isn't unique to Texas, but less prosperous states have managed to stabilize this vital segment of their economies for the good of the children and families. Texas, one of the wealthiest states in the nation, and blessed with a record budget surplus to boot, should do the same. Signed, an Austin American Statesman. Texas militia member sentenced to nearly 5 years in prison for attacking police during Capitol riot. The Texas militia member was sentenced Friday to nearly 5 years in prison for attacking police officers at the U.S. Capitol, seriously injuring one of them during a mob's attack on January the 6th, 2021. U.S. District Judge Randolph Moss sentenced Donald Hazard to 4 years and 9 months in prison, followed by 3 months of supervised release for his role in the riot at the Capitol, according to a spokesperson for the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia. The sentence matched what federal prosecutors had recommended for Hazard, who pleaded guilty to an assault charge in February. Hazard, 44, of Hearst, Texas, was a member of a militia called the Patriot Boys of North Texas. Lucas Denny, the group's self-proclaimed president, appointed Hazard as its sergeant-at-arms. Denny also encouraged Hazard to stock up on weapons and protective gear and recruit others to join them in Washington, D.C., prosecutors said. Hazard was eager for violence on January the 6th, wearing a tactical vest and a helmet adorned with the image of the Confederate battle flag, Justice Department prosecutor Bennett K. Kearney wrote in a court filing. After marching to the Capitol, Hazard clashed with officers who were trying to hold off the mob near scaffolding on the northwest side of the building. Hazard grabbed a Capitol police officer and pulled him down a set of concrete steps, knocking him unconscious. The officer was treated for a concussion and foot injuries that required multiple surgeries, according to prosecutors. Hazard also fell on another Capitol police officer whose head hit the concrete. Hazard and Denny, both wielding what appeared to be canisters of pepper spray, confronted other officers on the west side of the Capitol. Hazard briefly entered the Capitol before police pushed him and other rioters out of the building. When he reached the exterior steps, Howard raised his arms in a gesture of victory, Kearney wrote. In the days after January the 6th, Hazard bragged on Facebook about storming the Capitol and fighting with police. Medicine is destination for Compass Top 2. Two young women have landed the top academic spots at Compass Academy Charter School. Madison Lulu Molnar is the valedictorian, and Kyra Alres is the salutatorian. Both are going to Texas Tech University. Molnar to go into pre-med and Alres to study biology and become a physician assistant. Graduation was Friday in the Comstock Fine Arts and Athletic Complex on campus. Alres said they have both been diligent about their grades over the years and competition was fierce for the top academic positions. We've always tried to work hard, and we've always really cared about what we've gotten on everything, Alres said. Molnar said her mom has been a big factor in her high school success. She does not take anything less than the best I can do, she added. Alres said she was mostly self-motivated to achieve in high school. Her mom cared about her grades, but she never demanded perfection. They are both in volleyball, symphony, guild, crystal ball, and National Honor Society. Alres also is in track. They both have attended Crossroads Fellowship. Molnar coaches a little spikers team. Alres has been at Compass since first grade and Molnar since seventh. I think it's really great because it's like a family. Everyone pushes you to do better, and the teachers are really passionate about their teaching, Alres said. Molnar agreed, I feel like no matter what you do, you always have someone at your side rooting for you, and they care about you doing better as a person, but also academically, Molnar added. She said she's going into medicine because she really likes taking care of people. My way of showing love is acts of kindness. So I feel like if I'm able to go into the medical field, there's a bunch of different ways I can go, and so I'll never get bored. I'll always be helping out, Molnar said. Alres said she also likes caring for people but has also had an interest in dermatology. When I become a PA, I want to go into that field, she added. For younger students who want to reach the top 10 or top 2, Alres said they should keep a positive outlook and work hard. I would say just to believe in yourself, but also make sure that while you're getting a good grade and things, you're taking care of yourself and making sure that you're happy, because if you're not happy, then you're not going to succeed the way you'd like to, Molnar said. Superintendent James Inman said Molnar and Alres are highly competitive and excellent students. They're very involved. They're always positive. Both of them are usually smiling, Inman said. Ready for the next step? OCA Top 2 aiming for medical careers. Even as they walked the stage for graduation from Odessa Collegiate Academy Friday, Nadine Marcello and Karen Serrano had already received their associate degree in biology from Odessa College. Marcello, the valedictorian, and Serrano, the salutatorian, both planned to go into the medical field. Marcello to be a nurse anesthetist, and Serrano a heart surgeon. They are planning to study at University of Texas Permian Basin with what Principal James Ramage calls significant scholarships. Ramage said the two are outstanding young women. They've worked really hard to be at the top of their class. They are driven, goal-oriented. We're very proud of them. They have bright futures. Both are going to UTPB with significant scholarships, and both, ironically, are going into the medical field. So we're looking forward to see them as adults here in the near future, Ramage said. Marcelo, 18, is from Manila in the Philippines, but grew up in Oman. Serrano, 18, is a native Odessian. They have been going to OCA for 4 years. Oman is a sultanate, and Muscat was the city. As an expatriate, her family was not allowed to buy a house. But living in a country separate from my motherland taught me how to appreciate other cultures. And at a young age, I was able to experience the hospitality of other Filipinos around me since they were all working closely with each other, Marcelo said. Oman would hire doctors, nurses, and engineers through an agency. My mother got a job with the hospital here, so we moved from one desert to another, Marcelo said. Marcelo, who came to the U.S. in 2016, went to Nebitz Middle School and Serrano to Ector County College Prep. I grew up in the Filipino community, and they are predominantly nurses and medical field health care providers. They influenced me into entering the workforce with them. I have experienced them working really hard during the pandemic to serve their community, and I aspire to be one of them, Marcelo said. Serrano said she has a desire to help people. I think it's really hard to get health care around here, and I feel like we just need more people, she added. Marcelo and Serrano said they are nervous and excited about graduation. It's definitely anxiety-inducing, but instead of letting this faze me, it excites me because there's a lot of opportunities that have been opened for us out there. Even though the world we are entering is tumultuous and ever-changing, I have a good support system that I know will support me in the long run, Marcelo said. Serrano said she is ready to move forward. I'm ready to take the next step, she added. While Marcela is anticipating going to college, she's glad to be attending close to home. I don't think I'm ready to separate from the world that I got used to yet. I barely got used to Odessa, she added. Academically, there was competition between Marcelo and Serrano, but I think we're pretty good friends, Serrano said. Marcelo said she didn't even think she was in the running to be valedictorian until she saw her transcript. I just did my best because I enjoyed working with creativity and I enjoyed working with the people around me, that it didn't really feel like a competition. It was more of a collaboration, she added. Serrano and Marcelo said they felt OCA really supported them. I was also part of numerous groups and clubs. That really helped me foster my soft skills in terms of speaking with people beyond academics, Marcelo said. Serrano agreed. The teachers always encourage us to do our best. They always say that we can do anything we put our mind to, she added. Marcelo is the secretary for the Student Council, the historian for National Honor Society, a member of Academic Decathlon, a member of Phi Theta Kappa, and on yearbook. Serrano was member of NHS, the Texas Alliance for Minorities in Engineering, and the Team Leadership Council at Crisis Center of West Texas. If we are going to advise a younger student who wants to make it to the top 10, Marcelo said she would tell them not to have imposter syndrome and don't doubt yourself. Even though you falter all the time and it may not seem like you're doing your best, people around you are always going to see you for your true self. It's okay to falter because that's how we learn, and especially high-achieving adults. Although it may seem like you're a fraud for achieving the things that you achieve, it is actually due to your hard work. So keep being industrious and just keep being you, Marcelo said. Serrano said it's important to take advice from others. Listen and follow it. She added that you should also enjoy high school because it's only 4 years. It's going to pass by so quick, so enjoy it. Don't stress out too much either, Serrano said.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.